All right. Hey, good morning. Page 371. We're going to talk about the halachot of tzedaka. So, a person has to give minimum. He has to give like $4 a year. That's the minimum, which is why they have the minhag of these like tzedaka boxes, right? Yeah. You put your dimes or nickels or whatever. So, you know, basically adds up to that.
Right.
And the maximum that a person can give is, they say, the maximum is 20%. Right, 20%.
Okay.
Of earnings.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So the question is, today's topic is, we're going to look at, there's also this minhag of giving what's called Maaser Kesafim.
Right, Maaser, and what's the other one? You have Maaser
and what's the other one? I'm not so sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot what it's called.
Okay. So take a look and to see what does it mean. So take a look. In source number one, the Tosfot says, Aser Taser. You see that? So it's referring, what's it referring to? So if you want, go to the bolded section. Ready? Eli Ella Tvuat Zarecha. Meaning, when it refers to the Torah of giving a tenth, that's referring to only your produce in the field. Chav b'maiser. What about ribit or prokmatika v'chosha revachim minayin? What about other types of produce, meaning not food, but money? Tamud lomar et kol.
Can someone give
everything?
Money, food.
So, in the times of the, when you had a harvest, you would give 10% of what you had to the,
like a sheep or a camel.
No, so it's different. No, so this is only referring to certain produce, not sheep and camel. There is, it's called, you know, mice or behema. You're right, right. So you have to give a tenth of certain animals, or reishi the gez when you would share the sheep the first, right? So every almost every type of like in the agricultural world, your main agricultural things, you'd have to give, you know, miser, or you'd have to give, let's say, bikurim, you have to give some type of percentage away to other. But what about cash? You know, remember, money, remember money. So, says Tosfot, that's what he's trying to say. He says, etko. So, he learns from the words in the Torah, the words etko, that means everything, right? Okay, that includes everything. And in fact, this is a very strict opinion. Number two, the Chatam Sofer says, wait a second. He learns it from a pasuk. That must mean Ma'aser Kesafim Mamash D'Oraita.
Yes.
That's from the Torah. From the Torah. Wow. That's not going to be the consensus, as you'll see. But the Nodi B'Yehuda comes along in source number three, and he says, no. It's only rabbinic, right? It's only the Rabbanan.
Rabbanan.
The Bach even says something different. He says, that, no, Ma'aser is from the Torah. But when it comes to produce from, what about for, cash?
You're saying for poor people, no? For...
Yeah, so, Aval Ma'aser Ada Ma'aser, where am I? Ma'aser Mimasha Marviach B'Masal Matan. A guy who gives a tenth of what he gets from his field, from his business, sorry, from his business, not his field. V'Shar B'Vachim, other prophets, Eino B'Chol Zad. That's not Ma'aser, that's Ma'aser is Ma'aser, that's for the produce.
Anyone's
going to
pay them more.
Oh, very good. We'll see that. Very good. You can give tztaka, do pijon shvim. No, it's not chayav from the Torah or the Rabbanan. Rather, you know what it's considered? It's considered, as he's going to say, look at the pitzchei tshuva, minhaga ba'alma. It's a minhag. Now, it's a strong minhag. It's a minhag of the Jewish people. A minhag of the Jewish people is like Torah. But it's based on a minhag. I mean, there's some minhag that's going to be the conclusion that giving 10% of the cash that you earn is going to be considered a very, very strong minhag. Now, there's advantages and disadvantages to being a strong minhag. So why? Why does it matter? I'll show you what matters. Look at the Yalkut Yosef. Right? So he says, in chiyuv gemur letet ma'isar
ksefim. There's absolutely no obligation.
No, there's no obligation. Exactly. Right? No obligation. But rather, rabim nohagim liten ma'isar ksefim. But there's a very strong custom. V'ro'im bazeh siman bracha. And there's a siman bracha if you do it. Exactly. Now, what's the advantage of this is, let's say a person is struggling.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a poor person.
So not like poor, but like, I can't pay all my bills. You know what I mean? Right? Right? It's expensive. It's hard to do it.
Yeah.
So he says here, look at the language he says here. Vim sha'ato duchuka b'chinat kalkalit. You struggle financially. V'in yadom ha'segel dinhog masak sefim yikol miskarto or revachav. You can't just give, 10% of what you have. You know, you're this is Toronto. You're barely able. You can't even pay your tuition, right? You're not paying your full tuition. You know, you can barely pay your
taxes to the government.
Taxes to the government, right? Okay. What does he say? Yatenemi rosh she ten maaseh rak lachar. That what? Yechaven hotzo bito. That you only do it. When will you give your 10%? Once I've expenses, I've covered my expenses. I have certain expenses, Yet if you don't, you have to pay your taxes, you're on your house,
right?
Your water bill, your electricity.
So once you pay, you can get to the
house. So then you get tzedakah. Avami shechanina Hashem yibarach be'osher. But a person that God is blessed with wealth, yechos tzedek darko, he should be righteous. Latet kol maaser la'aniyim le'evanim, to give to the poor who need it. Who else? Amalei Torah, people who learn Torah, v'li yeshivot hakdoshot, in yeshivot. Okay? So, this is amazing. The Chofetz Chaim here is going to underline, in number 7, he's going to underline certain parameters of how to do it. Okay?
Now, what does the halacha of receiving to the someone who's...
Okay, that was good already.
Oh, okay.
That was earlier. Yeah. That was earlier. Okay. So, but there's a great question. That really is that there's two types. No, so I'll give the short answer. So there's two types of tzedakah. There's one that you have less than two meals. That's how hungry you are. Matanot avinim is a mitzvah. Anything that's a mitzvah, you're obligated to do is not maaser, as we're going to see. Like, I can't use my money for maaser to buy mitzvot, like my tefillin. No. Mitzvot or mitzvot? Meiser is meiser, not the same.
Okay.
Right?
That makes sense.
Yeah, not the same. Okay, so in Avad Chesed, he says, Tov, he says here, the bolded parts. Tov, she yitne bitchilat kabalato et a mitzvah shehu bli neder. When a person begins to give it out, he should say, he's giving ma'aser b'li neder. He doesn't want to obligate himself forever to give it. Mm-hmm. Why? So that, just in case he makes a mistake, it's complicated. Wait, how much did I make this month? Listen, if you have a set salary,
right,
you make $120,000 a year, $10,000 a month, $5,000 in taxes. So the numbers are very straightforward.
Right.
But, 1 month you can do better if you're in the business world, right? So 1 month this, 1 month that, and 1 year you made a lot of money, but you also have more expenses, you have to buy whatever it is, right? No. Or even business expenses, right? For your business, so it's complicated, right? Like what?
Right.
Okay. So that's why, for example, when you calculate, certain taxes, you have to pay. So again, it's not done every day. Like, it's too hard. It's too much work. So now, same idea. And also, you have to say you should doing it bli neder, and you should write it all down, right? You should be organized about it. Okay, fine. Two, you should make an accounting biannually or at least annually, right? You don't have to once a year or twice a year. Now, let's say that he does it twice a year. So if during those 6 months his business loses money, so then he loses it, then he only has to give tzedakah on profit.
Okay. What he makes,
What he makes. So now, it could be the next 6 months, he'll make a lot. Sometimes in a business, year, certain months that are better than others, right?
And we get that money, you should give it right away, or should you?
Okay, that's a great question. Do it right away, or should you wait? He'll talk about that, you'll see. Then he says, during this whole period of time, you should keep a record of all the tzedakah that one has given. You can include whatever he usually gives to the poor in his house, even just the pruta, deduct this amount at the end from the ma'aseh. Meaning, sometimes there's two different things. One is that people come to your house and you give them money. And then there's a ma'aseh, let's say, at the end of a few months that you calculate. Fine. Four. If at the time of his calculation, one sees that one hasn't given enough, he should separate it and distribute it immediately.
Immediately.
However, as there's no poor people nearby at the time who wants to give, he can retain the extra miser money until he finds a suitable recipient. And he's not obligated to dispense it immediately. Furthermore, he can use the money for himself. But when he does see people to whom he usually gives, he's obligated then to borrow money, if he spent it already, to pay them immediately. Okay? If he finds that he has given excess tzedakah, more than he needs to,
they can pay him back. No.
Some say he may deduct this amount from the next year. Others say you can't do that.
Okay.
Therefore, that's why you have to be precise. You don't want to give. Now, obviously, like you said, exactly. Okay, now, you said, can you use it for a mitzvah? You'd like to use your ma'aser money for a mitzvah? So the Ramah number 8 says no. In la'asot mima'aser shalo davar mitzvah. You're not allowed to use the ma'aser for the mitzvah. You're not allowed to. Okay? Rock, give it to the poor people.
Okay.
Okay? 9. He says here that what? Go to the bottom. If you do not have the ability to perform it and would refrain from doing the mitzvah, then you could use it. So what would be an example of this? Listen, there's a mitzvah that I have to do, but I have no money. If I couldn't use my ma'aser money, then I would do the mitzvah.
Right.
So, listen, you could argue, let's say, for example...
Depends on very expensive.
What?
Like buying a tefillin is
very expensive. Tefillin is very expensive. $1,000.
For someone who's poor.
Very expensive. Doesn't have money. Or you could argue, okay, you could buy tefillin that are second hand. That costs $400. So, I want to buy something under 1,000. I use the difference for my son. So he might be allowed to. Well, no, he might be allowed to.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't do it otherwise. He wouldn't do the mitzvah mehudar. No, he would do it, but like lower level, maybe. Okay. But at the end of the day, most of your ma'aser has to go to the poor. Okay. That's what he says. Number 11. But obviously, you have to make sure your children have.
Right.
That's the number one thing, is your children have. Right. Turn the page. And he says here, can you use your ma'aser money to support your younger children? Right? It's a great question. Right? Let's say, right, I got to support my kids. So, this is fascinating. Look at number 13.
Are you responsible for your kids that are under mitzvah?
Well, the opposite. Over.
Sorry. No, under mitzvah. Over mitzvah, they have to their tzedakah.
I thought you meant, if I were to give food to my 14-year-old kid, can that count as ma'aser? Because he's poor, he has no income.
Right.
I'm feeding him.
Right.
Does that count as ma'aser?
That's a good question. Okay.
Right?
I was referring to, are you responsible for, your 13-year-old, your 12-year-old kid?
It appears that you're only obligated to give tzedakah when you're a bar mitzvah.
You do also with your kids.
Right. So, it's good chinuch to train your kids to give tzedakah. Yeah, they would not be obligated. They would not be obligated to give when they're not bar mitzvah. It's good chinuch.
I remember when I turn bar mitzvah and you get your bar mitzvah money.
Yeah.
And then you see 10% of that go, you're like, oh.
You feel it, right?
Yeah, when I...
Because that's the first time, right? Right?
Yeah.
So, remember also that the concept of a 13-year-old kid not working is modern.
Right.
13-year-old kids 200 years ago were working.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't... you had to be very wealthy to go to school all day long 200 years ago, right?
That's true.
Who could afford that? Right? Well, it's like, right? You, where you're from... Not everyone, at the age of 19, everyone goes to university full-time? A lot of people work.
Yeah, a lot of people. Not in Mexico?
Yeah.
Work.
Work.
For the dads.
Right, for the dads. Right?
Like,
no one goes to school.
Two of my friends are going to university out of 40.
Really?
Yeah, like very small percent go to university.
Because y'all work in business, in the same business.
In business with their dads.
Right.
But then they come to Canada, like Victor, and they don't have anything to show that they have, like, no university, no degree.
Right.
No one accepts you that degree.
But no one's going to give you a job. I mean, they'll give you a job, but, you know.
Like a lower job.
Whereas it doesn't work that way in Mexico.
No, in Mexico, everyone works. Like, you leave school and straight to your dad. My dad hates that.
Really?
Yeah. You should learn something, but not all of them.
So, did Victor go to school?
Unless you want to be a doctor.
That's different.
Yeah, that's different. Then you have to go to university. Your dad's a regular businessman, just go to your dad.
Right. So Victor works, used to work for his dad?
Yeah. That's good.
So there you go. Okay. It's a different world, a different mindset.
Yeah, completely different mindset.
Right, it's weird,
Mexican,
right?
Mexicans are also very, like, the community. Yeah, like, they give a lot of to that guy. So, like,
they do?
Yeah. They have, like, a lot of, like, for example, they did, it was 2 years ago, they kidnapped a Jewish kid.
What?
Walking to show.
Who did?
The cartel, whatever, some people. They knew he was a kid from a
wealthy family.
Wealthy family. And they he was walking to show. They knew exactly who he was. He was walking to show. They kidnapped him, the community. $500,000 to get this kid back.
That's what I said.
In less than 10 days, I got all the community up putting money, and now they have a special foundation.
Is that bad? Would that encourage more people to get kidnapped?
What do you mean?
Now the cartel will kidnap people more because they know they get money from it.
Right. They have to pay. You don't have a choice. So now they made a foundation, being a member of the Jewish community. They charge you like 2%.
Right.
For that funding, especially.
For kidnapping funds.
Frank, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's very scary.
That's not so normal.
No.
It's a scary country.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because there are no laws. It's like a little bit not so, it's lawless, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
The police get bribed.
The police are also bribed. They're also corrupt. They're probably, the cartel pays them. They work with them.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. That's the main team. Now, can that count as my sir?
Yeah, for sure.
To give money to rescue kids.
Yeah, called Pigeon Shrimp. Yeah, Pigeon Shrimp, of course. Oh, yeah. So, okay, fine, we'll stop there. Very good, Yashukwach.